God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Brother Hutchings, welcome Steve and Nanette Economidis back to the program today with more on how to cut your food cost. They're sharing information from the book, How to Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. Steve and Annette are Christians who have become experts in family finance issues. They're quoted on radio and newspapers and have been featured on television programs. Here's Brother Hutchings.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Yesterday, we were talking about grocery shopping. Do you have anything further to say on that or any more suggestions?
Right. Well, we talked yesterday about the planning and how important it is to go to the store with a plan in hand. After you've taken stock of your groceries, the things that you have in the house, you've planned a menu based on the grocery ads, and you've made a list. And we're talking about a good list. You can get one for free at our website, americascheapestfamily.com. But we always go to the store with a list. You've got to have a plan. Otherwise, the grocer has a plan that he wants you to use, and his plan is based on impulse buys. And we quote a study in our book that says that the grocer expects that if you go into the grocery store for 10 items, you're going to put 16 in your cart. 60% of the items you put in your cart are put there on impulse. If you have a plan, you will not impulse buy as much, and as a result, you'll save a lot of money on groceries. One reader wrote in and said to curb her impulse buys, what she did is she took one of the hand baskets and stuck it in the baby seat of the cart. And anytime she picked up something that wasn't on her list, she put it in the hand basket. And that way she was able to visually see those items that she was picking up on impulse and make a conscious decision whether she should really buy them or not. But we're going into the grocery store, and we're going to give you a bunch of strategies on things you can look for so you can cut your grocery bill in half.
Okay, one of the other strategies, and we kind of alluded to that yesterday, was that the average shopper is usually going to the grocery store 2 to 3 times a week. Some of your listeners may be going less, some of your listeners may be going more, but our motto is the less you shop, the more you save. Because of that whole impulse buy principle, the less you are in the store, the more you're going to save on your groceries.
And so you go to the store less often by planning more. Now, here's
right.
Some things we do when we get in the store.
So plan a menu for at least a week. Make it your goal to go to the shop once a week and you know, only be in the store once a week. Okay, so one of the other things that we do is we look at the shelf tags, because there's been many a times we've walked through the store as we're walking the whole store, and we've seen things steeply discounted on clearance or an overstock, a manager's overstock, and we've been able to stock up on some things that were on our list, but they were marked down. They were pleasantly marked down without us even realizing it.
Okay.
Another thing...
No, let's go back to shelf tags, because there's one important thing. Stores can be very confusing. Because they'll have, let's just take, for instance, peanut butter. They'll have 4 or 5 different varieties or different sizes of peanut butter. And it may appear, by looking at the price on the shelf, that one particular version is less expensive, but it happens to be maybe a smaller container, so you're getting 4 or 5 ounces less. But when you compare the unit price, and most shelf tags now have a unit price, so they're telling you what the price is per ounce, little mark on them, if you read the unit price, you'll find out which peanut butter or which item you're looking to buy is truly the least expensive. And you don't have to use a calculator to do this. So we tell people, have eagle eyes, look at the shelf tag, and calculate which product is going to get you the most value for the lowest price. We aren't talking about buying cheap food. We aren't talking about buying junk food. We're talking about getting the food you need by spend less on it.
We're also, one of the other things we do is we eat lunch meat, you know, sliced meat for lunch, and we don't do that every day, but that is one of the things on our lunch menu once a week. And so we'll go into the meat section of the grocery store and find a chub. There's 3 different ways to buy lunch meat for your sandwich. You can go to the deli section of the grocery store, and you can pay $7 to $10 a pound. You can go to the section that they call the Wall Deli, where they have the meat already sliced in prepackages, like the Oscar Mayer stuff, for example. And you can spend anywhere from $4 to $7 a pound. Or you can go to the meat section of your grocery store, and you can get a chub. It's just like a chunk, and they'll have turkey ham, they'll have ham, they'll
turkey.
Just turkey breast. And you take that chub to the butcher or the deli, and you ask them to slice it for you. Make sure they include the heel, because you can chop up that heel to have with a chef's salad or to put in eggs, scrambled eggs. And you will get your lunch meat for anywhere from $2 to $4 a pound.
So you're saving, you know, 70 to 80% over the deli price by shopping a little smarter and having them slice it. Now, we go even further, and we buy a 10-pound chunk at a grocery supply house, and we get it for $1.79 a pound, and it's very lean turkey breast. And we cut it ourselves at home on a slicer, a meat slicer. So there are all kinds of levels. And in our book, what we're advocating is that you don't start where we are, because we're considered black belt grocery shoppers. We give steps for each level. So if you're just starting out trying to figure out how to cut your grocery bill, we'll give you baby steps on how you can do that. But definitely cutting your costs on specific items is a huge way to save, and it's just shopping smarter.
Right. One of the other strategies we have is for saving. We have three strategies for saving with produce. The first strategy is to buy what is in season. And right now, you know, we're in summer, and so you've got all the melons that are on sale in your ads. You've got watermelons, cantaloupe, honeydew. You've got strawberries are ending their season. Cherries are there right now.
Coming in.
Blueberries will be here in July. You've got peaches coming into season. Soon it'll be apricots and plums and nectarines.
Now, so, the deal is that produce in season will be about 50 to 75% less expensive than things that are not in season. So if you try to buy apples right now, apples are going to be, you know, over $1, $1.50 a pound, whereas peaches are going to be down around 70 or 80 cents a pound. So plan your food purchases around what's on sale, and you'll cut your grocery bill again.
Also, we advocate buying the least prepared. In other words, everybody's on this baby carrot craze, and those baby carrots cost 300% more than regular carrots in a bag. And yeah, they look cute, but the carrots in a bag will, so you have to wash them and peel them and cut them up. But they will cost a fraction of what those baby carrots will cost, and they will last five times longer. So that's the second strategy.
Jesus said that he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. So you want to be careful about everything. And if you're faithful in your economy and your food, that bleeds over into your other expenses also.
It does.
Right.
It covers every area. You know, another thing that he said that really stuck with us is after he fed the 5,000, he told the disciples to gather up the baskets of that which was left over. And only in the Gospel of John does he explain why.
Yeah, that's John, I believe, the 16th chapter, verse 12.
Yeah, that's right. He says, pick up what's left over, that nothing may be wasted.
Yes.
He was the creator of the universe. He could have made more food out of rocks. But he told the disciples to not waste anything. And I don't believe God wastes anything of our lives, any of our tears, any of our experiences, any of the hard times. And so this is another motivation for us to be careful in what we do, because Jesus told us not to waste.
Right. The third produce strategy, if I can jump in and finish that up, the third produce strategy is to buy whatever you can in bags rather than loose. So potatoes bought in 10-pound bags are going to be way cheaper than buying loose bulk potatoes. And if you're a single person or a senior couple, an empty nester, then we say share. Find another family to share with or share with your neighbor. But it's going to be so much cheaper to buy onions, potatoes,
carrots,
apples when they're in season. All that stuff is going to be cheaper to buy in the bag in 3 to 5 to 10 pounds than it will be to buy them loose in the produce section of the store.
Yes, yes. And, of course, Annette, after you buy your food, of course, you have to cook it. And unless the cook in the kitchen follows through, and if she doesn't cook it right, it's going to be wasted, right?
Exactly. And we've got some simple ideas.
The before Annette starts on her simple ideas for cooking, I have to tell you that when we were first married, Annette knew how to cook two things. She knew how to scramble eggs, and she knew how to boil water. And sometimes she burned the water.
Will you stop?
No, seriously, she did not know how to cook. She made it a goal to be excellent in what she did, and she now has over 100 different meals that she can cook. But it took some time. So, you know, if someone says, oh, I can't cook, you know, we challenge them to say, look, cooking, if you can read, you can cook.
And in our book, we have some suggestions for some very basic, simple cookbooks to help you get started. One of our favorites is the Good Housekeeping Illustrated Cookbook, which has a picture for every single recipe in the book. And I'm a very visual learner, and I really, really love that cookbook. So one of the strategies we talk about is to not only buy in bulk, but to cook in bulk. So in other words, if you buy ground beef, for example, you can take that ground beef home, and you can make it into three meals. You can make it into meatloaf, you can make it into hamburgers, and you can make it into meatballs. And you can stick all of those in the freezer to use for later on. That's buying in bulk. If you want to cook in bulk, you take that ground beef, and you make it into tacos, you make it into sloppy joes, or you make it into a meat sauce for spaghetti. And so multiplying your efforts, doing several things with one thing, is going to not only save time, but it's going to save money
now,
as well.
Let's go into the veggie area, because what Annette will do is when mushrooms are on sale, we'll buy 6 or 7 pounds of mushrooms, and then she'll take them, wash them down, slice them up all at once, and saute them, and she'll put them into plastic containers and put them in the freezer. Now, what we've done is we've just captured the lowest price, and we've extended the lifetime use of those mushrooms from usually 1 week, that's about all they'll last, to several months. So she's bought in bulk, she's cooked up the batch in bulk, and now she's stored it well.
Right.
Nothing gets wasted.
Another very simple cooking strategy is to multiply your portions. So if you cook a meal for one night, cook enough for two meals and take the extra, put it in a pan, freeze it, and eat it next week.
Or we have a friend who just had hip replacement surgery. So we cooked a turkey dinner the other night. We had some missionary friends over. We took the leftover turkey, put it into a disposable pan, put it in the freezer, and we're taking that meal over to another family. So what we've done is we've taken the cooking effort of one night, and we've made it pay for two or three different meals afterwards.
Right. Another thing that folks can do, and we talk about this in detail in our book, is called once-a-month cooking. Now, this is not for the faint-hearted, but because we know people that just start out with once-a-week cooking, but I decided to do once-a-month cooking, which is where you take an entire day and you get the whole family involved, and you try to cook up about 15 dinners in one day. And it's too difficult to go into all the details over the phone, but basically you're saving time with the cleanup and with the prep because you can chop onions and chop celery for several different meals at one time. So you're multiplying your efforts in one day.
Now, the advantage of doing bulk cooking or some of the strategies we've talked about really come home when you're talking about single folks or empty nesters. Because by that time, if your kids have left home or you're alone, a lot of people don't like to cook for themselves. We've heard of a movement where there are singles and empty nesters that are getting together and cooking with other friends. And when it's kind of like the old quilting bees, you know, where women would get together and they'd have their social time around an activity that was productive for their family. So get a couple of friends together, cook a bunch of meals, and we talk about one meal swap club where they do that. And you come away with all these meals, plus you've had great fellowship, and you can benefit the body that way.
Another strategy for singles or empty nesters is to spend 1 week cooking out of each month, but to have a month's worth of food. So let's say the first day you're going to cook four pork chops in a crock pot. You're going to eat one that night along with a baked potato and some green beans, and you're going to take the three other pork chops that you cooked that day, and you're going to put them into little plastic containers and stick them in the freezer. So next week and the week after and the week after that, you're going to have a pork chop meal all ready for you.
So every day you cook a different meal in a quadruple portion and freeze it, and then you're done for the month. So there's lots of ways to save time and multiply your efforts.
Yes, that's important, very important, and that's one reason why certainly I would recommend that our listeners get your book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. Next, I'd kind of like to talk something about gardening. Now, at our home, we have a garden, and in our backyard, we have two pear trees, one peach tree, one cherry tree, one apple tree, and one persimmon tree.
It's wonderful.
That's awesome.
And we also have a garden. The garden is a very important thing to us because my wife loves the garden, and we join together in preparing the garden. And it can save a lot on grocery bill also. Do y'all have a garden?
We do,
actually.
And we have about 30 citrus trees and other trees in our yard. So it is important to us. And I've got to tell you that the trend in the nation right now is that gardening is growing in popularity by leaps and bounds. Burpee seeds, their sales are up about 40 or 50%. Over previous years, and ball canning jars, their sales are up about 30 to 60% right now. So people are definitely getting the bug to get out in the garden and save money. And we're going to give you some strategies that we use to save some time and effort there. But it's definitely a great way to not only grow organic produce, which is healthy and very expensive normally, but to get some good exercise.
Right. Yeah, we love gardening. There's nothing more rewarding than, you know, being out there and taking care of it and then running out there to clip cucumbers to make our delicious tzatziki, which is a Greek cucumber salad, or to have so much zucchini out there that you can pull it in and whip up batches of zucchini bread.
Mm-hmm.
Stick that in the freezer or share it with friends and neighbors. There's gardening is so much fun. And
but the key to a successful garden, number one, is education. So we always encourage people, depending on where you live, obviously it's going to affect how you garden. In Arizona, we have two growing seasons. We actually grow stuff all year long, but basically two planting seasons. But the key is to contact your local county extension service because they'll have local information on the soil and ways to amend the soil and grow things really well. There's also usually a master gardener program where people can get trained on how to grow things well so your efforts really do produce.
Right, because so much of it does depend on where you live in the nation. Like Brother Noah, we could not grow a cherry tree here, but we have citrus like no other.
Yep.
So you have to know what grows in your area, and the stuff that is made to grow in your area obviously is going to do the best. It's going to flourish, and you're going to be blessed with whatever you can grow. We have a pomegranate tree, and we have some clippings from a fig tree that we're starting to grow a fig tree. So, you know, we can grow things here that other people around the nation can't.
But one of the things we learned early on is that compost is a critical component to growing a good garden. So we built a 3-bin system where we have we just use cinder blocks to separate it, and we stack up our yard waste, which would be leaves, pine needles,
grass,
things from our kitchen, you know, whether it's cucumber peels or whatever, onion skins, and all of that goes into the compost. And we water our compost in Arizona because it's kind of dry here. But we have 3 bins. So 1 bin is fresh compost fresh stuff we're putting on the compost pile. 1 bin is full. It's about 3 feet by 3 feet, and that's what you need to get your compost cooking, to get the bacteria growing and to get it breaking down. And the 3rd bin is already cooked.
It's done.
So we always have fresh compost we can put on the plants, and that adds nutrients to your soil and organic matter, which keeps your soil soft and allows you to reach down and pull out potatoes. We're growing sweet potatoes right now in our garden just from clippings of sweet potatoes that started to grow eyes. I mean, we didn't spend any money on the seeds for that or anything. So there are always ways to do it, but compost is critical, and if you don't have a lot of space, you can do it in a bin. But we have space, so we do a three-bin system, and it works really good.
Right.
Another thing you can do if you don't have space, and that's become part of a community garden. Community gardens are popping up all over the place. As a matter of fact, we are in Washington, D.C., and right behind the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, there's a little triangle of dirt,
mm-hmm.
and it's a community garden just a few blocks from the Capitol. So it's everywhere. People are gardening, digging in the dirt, growing great food, and we just encourage your listeners to do that.
Right. We even heard about a church, actually,
yes.
a church ministry where they're taking part of the property of the church and having a community garden on the church. So if people show up at the church and they're starving, they're looking for food, rather than sending them to a food bank, they're heading out to the garden to harvest whatever's in the garden and to send the folks away with a bag of food that they've all grown, everybody in the congregation has pitched in to grow in the garden.
Isn't that a great idea?
Yes. Well, Steve and Annette, we certainly appreciate your taking the time to be with us on these last two programs, and we'll look forward to having you on later, maybe on one of your other books. I believe you mentioned another book that you had on the subject of, what was it?
It's General Finance. It's called America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money, and it covers every area of household finance, and it's a New York Times bestseller.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to call you America's cheapest family. I think you're one of America's wisest family, and we thank you. One final word, getting all the family together at meals is important, not only for saving food, but also just getting together to start the meal with prayer and thanking God for all that He's provided.
Yes,
it is.
Absolutely.
And we eat dinner together every night. It's a great time to reconnect as a family, to be grateful, and to just share the abundance that we have.
Well, we appreciate so much your being with us. And again, I would encourage our listenership to consider getting a copy of your book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. Here now is Brother Jerry to give you the number to call or the address to write.
The telephone number is 1-800-652-1144. Our mailing address is Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The third way to get the book is the Internet. Website address is swrc.com. If you want to save money on your groceries, be sure to get Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. The 302-page book is available in appreciation of a $20 contribution in the United States, $25 for our friends in Canada. The senior editor for CBSMoneyWatch.com, Richard Eisenberg, says this about Steve and Annette's work, quote, "This book is loaded with fresh ideas to slash your grocery bills," close quotes. And he speaks the truth. Imagine grocery shopping once a week or less while eating healthier and having more free time with the bonus of spending less on your food bill. That's what you'll find in this book. I'm getting a copy. How about you? Call, write, or go online today for your copy of Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. One copy for a gift of $20 in the U.S., $25 in Canada. Phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com. The two programs in this series are also available. Get them on CD or tape for an offering of $14 in the U.S., $15 in Canada. Call, write, or visit the website for the programs. Stay right here for a Bible in the News report over many of these stations. Have a great weekend, and plan to join us Monday for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Welcome to today's Bible in the News report as we look at a recent story from a biblical viewpoint. It's a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. Add the United Nations to the growing list of entities that have given themselves over to a minority group that wants special status for its ungodly lifestyle. gays, lesbians, and transgendered people have scored a victory in the World Organization, giving them protection from what they perceive as condemnation from some quarters. We reference a news story from Newsmax.com that was posted on the Internet June 17, 2011. Quote, "The United Nations issued its first condemnation of discrimination against gays, lesbians, and transgender people on Friday in a cautiously worded declaration hailed by supporters, including the United States, as a historic moment. Members of the UN Human Rights Council narrowly voted in favor of the resolution put forward by South Africa against strong opposition from African and Islamic countries. You just witnessed a historic moment at the Human Rights Council and within the UN system with a landmark resolution protecting human rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered people," U.S. Ambassador Eileen Chamberlain Donahoe told reporters after the vote. Couched in delicate diplomatic language, the resolution commissions a study of discrimination against gays and lesbians around the world, the findings of which will be discussed by the Geneva-based council at a later meeting. The proposal went too far for many of the council's 47 member states, including Russia, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, and Pakistan. Speaking on behalf of the powerful Organization of the Islamic Conference, Pakistan's ambassador to the UN in Geneva said the resolution had nothing to do with fundamental human rights. "We are seriously concerned at the attempt to introduce to the United Nations some notions that have no legal foundation," Ambassador Zamir Akram said. The resolution passed with 23 votes in favor and 19 against, with 3 abstentions, including that of China. Backers included the United States, the European Union, Brazil, and other Latin American countries. Close quotes. Nations that signed on to this resolution have put themselves in a position of receiving the judgment of God. We read, "And the whole land thereof is brimstone, and salt, and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath." That's from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 23. Brimstone, salt, burning, these are words associated with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah found in Genesis 19. That's today's Bible in the News report of Southwest Radio Ministries. To get a complimentary copy of the monthly publication, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or go online. The website is at swrc.com. Be here for our next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.